om Norma. Rekommenderas av mig, Per Feltzin.
Häng med oss i Hemma i P2.
För dig som gillar musiken från 1900-talet och framåt. Britta och Vivica är med dig.
Måndag till torsdag från 18.45 till 20.
Med havet här utanför studiofönstret ger jag dig hundratals år av musik på väg hem. Måndag till torsdag med start klockan 16 är jag med dig i P2 på hemväg. Ända fram till 7:15.
Lager, som Underworld sjöng så fint i deras hit Born Slippy från 1996. Okej, inte riktigt så, men även om jag verkligen älskar minimal techno, snål ambient musik och sån där gammal synt från 1980-talet som så här i efterhand benämns minimal wave, är det också väldigt skönt med musik med stora ljudmattor. Skivor där man kan upptäcka nya lager nästan varje gång man lyssnar. Kanadensiska Lossil är en sån artist. Det har jag vetat ända sedan jag såg honom live på ungdomsscenen Lava på Kulturhuset i Stockholm för 23 år sedan. Den 21 januari 2002. Då var han en relativt nykomling och aktuell med sitt andra album. Nu för tiden är han en av den nutida ambientmusikens allra mest etablerade. En annan artist som precis gett ut alldeles nytt material är amerikanska ljudkonstnären Ash Fury. Hon är aktuell just nu med albumet Animal på Oslos Small Town Supersound. I veckans elektroniska P2 pratar vi med dem båda. Och när jag säger vi menar jag förstås Mats Almegård och jag själv, Andreas Tilliander. Varmt välkomna. Men först här, ny musik från 1972.
Thank you.
Bandet Cluster bildades för 55 år sedan av Konrad Schnitzler, Dieter Möbius och Hans Joachim Rodelius. Den förstnämnda hoppade av rätt tidigt i bandets karriär och de övriga två bytte då namn från Cluster till Cluster. Från att stava bandets namn med K till C. Om en vecka ungefär, den 11 juni, ger skivmärket Bureau B ut Clusters fantastiska LP Cluster 2 på nytt. Och veckans elektroniska P2 inleddes med spåret som inleder den skivan. Alltså nyutgiven musik, men från 1972. Spåret Plas av Cluster. Förresten pratade vi med bandets Hans Joachim Rodelius tidigare i år. Bland annat om deras samarbete med Brian Eno. Intervjun sändes i vårt program om månen den 29 mars. Håll utkik i vårt poddarkiv i appen SR Play. Så ska ni se att själva intervjun hamnar där också snart. Ash Fury är doktor i musikkomposition vid Harvard-universitetet. Hon arbetar som Associate Professor of Sonic Arts vid Dartmouth College och har under många år utforskat den mer fysiska sidan av musik. Istället för att intressera sig för komposition och notering är det ljudupplevelser som känns i hela kroppen som intresserar henne. Nyligen albumdebuterade hon med Animal på norska bolaget Small Town Supersound. Och det var en ovanlig erfarenhet för någon som annars arbetat med performance och ljudinstallationer.
This is actually the first album I've ever made. I really have been very interested in kind of really immersive spaces that are engaging with architecture. And so none of that really interested me in the confines of a stereo format. It's both a new vector for me actually to be touring a performance piece solo. I really grew up in the new music world, sort of writing for other folks. And so both it was like in my body and in my hands as a solo project I could record. And I just really thought... But, you know, the challenge for me in this piece, it's extracted from a bigger installation work, but I really did sort of set a challenge to myself of like, okay, if what I usually make is these, you know, I kind of crawled my way out of that more concert music, new music scene by making these huge, like massive installation worlds that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to produce and take weeks to install. And they're incredible. I love doing them, but, you know, I don't get to do them that many times a year. And so my challenge in this piece to myself was like, is there something I can design that fits within the constraints of like a festival circuit? And sort of with that, something that could sort of fit on an album or sort of be captured in a stereo format, but still have some of that spatial dynamism. So it was sort of all part of the challenge to myself.
Albumet skulle alltså fungera både för hemmalyssning och som ett slags visitkort till bokare som kunde höra att hon kan göra ett kortare, mer live-orienterat stycke än vad hon vanligtvis gör. Annars har Ash Fury, som hon sa, mest ägnat sig åt rätt dyra och komplexa installationer. Men när covid-pandemin stängde ner städerna och hon fick tillbringa tid hemma började hon fundera på andra sätt att arbeta på. Ash Fury berättar att det var under våren och sommaren 2020 när hon började tröttna på att sitta isolerad hemma som hon började arbeta på det som så småningom skulle bli Animal.
It was right in that moment actually when everybody was like rushing to streaming and thinking about how to compress their artistic offerings into shitty algorithms and, you know, flat screens. And I have always made really full-bodied and spatial sound work, and it's like what I crave as a listener. And so I was thinking about sort of what could I offer that moment that would have some of that liveness and have some of that full-bodied visceral experience but could be accessible to anybody who was shut up in their homes.
Hon började experimentera med olika objekt som hon hade hemma.
Did a few of these interior listening protocol studies, and the first was a kind of participatory listening score that used two big mason jars as these kind of vessels you put over your ears. And I designed a sound score that was really tuned to the size of like had standing waves and different kind of frequencies that would interact with the size of a cavity like a pint glass or a kind of common mason jar that would be lying around.
I den första ljudstudien använde hon sig alltså av två glasburkar. Sen gick hon vidare och skapade en, som hon kallade, percussion study med sin laptop.
My laptop has two speakers on the left and right sides, and I started finding some material that really responded to my hands covering and uncovering and sort of changing their vertical relationship to those speakers. And it would just produce this like very evident impact on the sound when I blocked the speaker or let it loose. And it's just physics, like it has no actual sensor mapping. It's not actually mapping to kind of effects inside of Ableton. It's really just happening in the air.
När hon hade gjort detta var det dags att ta idéerna vidare. Corona-restriktionerna hade lättat vid det här laget, så hon tog med sig sin dator och begav sig till Schwarzman Center i New Haven, en bit utanför New York.
Wait a second, if the phenomenon sort of works with my hands covering small speakers, I wonder if I put those same sounds through big speakers, what do I have lying around that could sort of fully cover and fully release those big kind of 12-inch woofers? And I had some polycarb lying around that, polycarb is like the stuff you make greenhouses out of. So it's this translucent material, double paned. It has lines in it that look kind of like a vintage TV. So I had it around because I was using it in some other of the kind of sculptural pieces I was working on, and I tried to use that polycarb to block and unblock and release the speaker cones just because it was something that could fully cover them, like my hands could fully cover the laptop speakers.
Tekniken var alltså densamma, att täcka över och släppa ut ljudet. Med de här stora plastskivorna gjorde hon det över de stora högtalarna i Schwarzman Center, och hon blev fascinerad av resultatet.
Not only did it work, but it was like catching light in this wild way, light that was just kind of accidentally, ambiently in the room. So that got me really excited. And then I eventually sort of from those early experiments just extrapolated out this huge composition and physical performance that weaves light and weaves sound and then interacts live with physical movements.
Men det här med att släppa ett album, vi återkommer till det. För hon tycker att det är lite ovant att släppa ifrån sig ett verk och inte kunna styra exakt hur det spelas upp i rummet.
I enjoy it most at a full kind of swallow level for sure, but some of the textural density that you mentioned, you know, different because of that density, because there's sort of so much spectral energy across the whole range, it really does, you know, when it's playing through worse speakers, like that sparkly high level just is what dominates more than that deep subwoofer energy, but there's still a lot of life and activity there. And if you're on a system with a full kind of subwoofer support, then, you know, what you're going to be feeling is much more of a gut ride than a, you know, than a kind of acupuncture of the brain ride.
Kompositionerna är alltså gjorda i lager på lager. Det är otroligt tät ljudkonst och det gör att det fungerar på olika volymer. Så även om Ash Fury inte kan övervaka hur hög volymen blir hos de som lyssnar, så är hon ändå säker på att det som lyssnaren hör kommer att ge något. Skruva upp radion lagom högt för dig, för nu ska vi höra Animal Part 3. Här i elektroniskt P2.
Thank you.
den amerikanska ljudkonstnären Ash Fury här i elektroniskt i P2 med stycket Animal Part 3. Materialet på det började hon alltså utveckla hemma under covid-pandemin. Men när det var dags för inspelning åkte hon till East West Studios i Los Angeles och monterade upp 30 mikrofoner runt om i rummet för att sedan spela in allt material live.
Which is one of those iconic studios that like Thriller was recorded at and Kendrick's last album was recorded in this room. So there are these like crazy, there's only a few of them left, but they literally like have the same vinyl floors because people are sure that if they change any material in the room, it'll like lose the magic of the acoustic quality. And so we were in one of those rooms. I was working with Louis Pesikov for this really amazing producer. We put, you know, mics right up close to the rig, way back on all the walls, because the piece really does play the architecture live. And so we tried to use that to kind of capture that architectural interaction and that spatial dynamism, and then built some of the other kind of studio world around it once we were back in kind of tools.
Och själva instrumenten hon använt är datorn och så de två koniska högtalarna som hon täckt över med polykarbonitplasten för att få fram rytmer och förändringar i ljudet.
So there's a lot of that click energy, and similarly like pretty dense harmonic energy will just allow me again to kind of like massage the spectral contours live, because it's really rich. So it's a mixture of sounds I've made in Max, sort of out of those weird click, chaotic click patterns, and a lot of just, I actually don't work with synthetic material very often. It's really, some of it's field recording, but a lot of it is like actual, you know, I've really built my own instruments for a really long time. And even when I was working with cellos and flutes back in the day, I was always like, having them do some very unstable multiphonic and detuning the string 3 octaves so I could just get this fragility in these noises that had a kind of inner life and a kind of real live friction element to them that I couldn't fully control. So I had just like a huge body of samples that are based out of these like friction experiments, and a lot of them I reworked. I mean, again, sort of figured out which of them responded to this particular setup and responded to this kind of manipulation with the polycarb, and then just like worked and worked and worked it into this whole 40-minute ride.
Albumet Animal är en 40-minuters ride, helt klart. Det är en otroligt fysisk lyssningsupplevelse. Det känns som att mage och ben sköter lyssnandet lika bra som öronen. Kanske är det därför som den fått heta Animal. För att det är en slags primal, primitiv ljudkonst.
Yeah, very much so. I'm really happy to hear that. That's definitely what I'm hoping and what I'm going for in this project, but really in all of my work. So I think it's a bit of a celebration of that kind of listening and that kind of physicality.
Stundtals påminner Ash Fury om den finska powerduon Pansonic. Enligt mig, ett av musikhistoriens allra bästa band.
Yeah, to be totally honest, I came to a lot of that music quite late in my life, and I came to club life really late in my life too, and all of that exposure was really important.
Hon nämner också rastronautenartister som Ryoji Ikeda som har influerat henne mycket, och hur hennes förståelse för ljud och musik ändrades efter ett besök på Berghain i Berlin, som hon också gjorde för första gången relativt sent i livet. För även om hon haft vänner som gått på rave har hon själv mer rört sig inom akademiska musikerkretsar. Men hon ångrar inte att det blev ett sent besök på Berghain. Snarare ser hon det som en styrka.
Yeah, maybe some ways I wish, you know, like I had that scene as a kid, but other ways I think there's something powerful to encountering it in maturity and really being able to attend to it with a different kind of slowness and attention.
Dags för mer primal ljudkonst med Ash Fury.
Det är något speciellt med Vancouver. När jag, som heter Mats Almegård, var tonåring var det platsen som jag kanske längtade allra mest till. Anledningen var industrisyntbandet Skinny Puppy och cyberpunkförfattaren William Gibson. Men jag har ännu inte varit där. Jag är fortfarande sugen, för nu för tiden har jag en annan anledning. Lost Hill. Ambientprojektet som Scott Morgan ägnat sig åt sedan 2001 är bland mina absoluta musikfavoriter. Ta bara 2006 års Plume, 2010 års Endless Falls eller 2021 års Clara. Tre album som jag skulle kunna ta med till den där ön som man pratar om ibland. Eller något av dem då. Scott Morgan gör delikat musik. Vackra melodier, en ljudbehandling som är krispigt perfekt. Dubbelement som svärtar ner det hela på ett bra sätt. Och bara någon slags känsla som jag inte riktigt kan beskriva, men som jag uppskattar väldigt mycket. På det sprillans nya albumet Lake Fire är det också så. Men den här gången är produktionen mäktigare än någonsin. I lager på lager bygger han upp täta ljudspår som alla berättar om de stora skogsbränderna som nu för tiden blivit mer eller mindre vardag på den kanadensiska och amerikanska västkusten. Särskilt i titelspåret på albumet ville Scott Morgan spegla detta.
I wanted to have this overall shape of almost like a fire burning everything to the ground and then something kind of building out of the ashes. I wanted that feeling to kind of be in that piece, and I think the structure kind of lives up to that, but I don't know if the feeling is there. And it can sometimes be the final thing is the final kind of challenge of any piece of music is getting that flow and that kind of structural integrity, if you will.
På tidigare Lost Hill-album har Scott Morgan använt sig ganska mycket av field recordings. Men den som spetsar öronen för att höra ljudet av brinnande skog kommer att bli besviken. Scott säger att det finns lite regn, men de flesta fältinspelningarna är egentligen upptagningar av olika akustiska instrument.
You can't really tell it's rain, but it is a kind of rain meets guitar granular sound that is probably the only natural, closest thing to a natural sound on the record. The rest is all very synthetic and reprocessed. So some of the buried sounds in there are like reprocessed ensemble sounds. So there's like violins and it's really buried and heavily layered. And that's the thing about this record. It's incredibly dense and very layered to the point that it's, I mean, I was a bit worried that it wouldn't come across very well. It's a bit messy in a way. But I kind of like this idea of searching through the smoke. Like that's the kind of feeling I was going for.
Från början var tanken att det inte skulle bli ett så elektroniskt album. Scott Morgan lekte med tanken på att spela in en hel ensemble. När han besökte sin vän och ambient-kollega Lawrence English i Australien så nämnde han att han funderade på det här.
You got to be careful what you say around Lawrence because he makes things happen. And so he invited me to Brisbane in the spring of last year, about this time last year, to work with a five-piece ensemble called Topology in Brisbane. And so I had to write, you know, a set worth of music for this ensemble. And that's where this material all started. And I wrote, so it was like a double bass player, two violin players, a pianist and a saxophone player. So I wrote all this material and I went down there and we rehearsed it and we did the show. It was like a double bill with Tim Hecker and it was a great experience. Like it was live. I thought it was really, you know, fun and different. And my goal was to come home and put a similar ensemble together and record it here and turn that into an album.
Men när han kom tillbaka till sin studio i Vancouver kändes idén inte lika fräsch längre. Det blev svårt att jobba med materialet och Scott beslutade sig till sist för att göra något helt annat.
Something happened and it kind of broke in my mind and I didn't want to follow through with it. So I took the sort of existing work and basically remixed it and treated it all as source material for something else. And that's, you know, the Ash Clouds piece with James, I had actually recorded before all this. So I decided to keep that piece. And we just had a live album release show here in Vancouver on the 1st. And James did that piece with me live. So that was really fun. We kept that one little brick in the wall, so to speak. And then everything else I grew distant from and decided to just destroy.
Det är James Meager som spelar kontrabas på skivan och som också var med på releasefesten i Vancouver den 1 maj. Så här låter han och Lossil tillsammans i låten Ash Clouds. Ash Clouds från albumet Lake Fire här i Elektroniskt i P2, där vi möter ambientproducenten Scott Morgan, Lossil. Innan vi hörde låten så berättade Scott att han först tänkte skriva musik till en akustisk ensemble, men att det inte fungerade den här gången. Men han har arbetat med ensembler förut.
As a composer, you write most of the music down and get and hand it to them as sheet music, and not that there's not room to interpret the sheet music, but for the most part, you know, it's more conceived of by the composer. And I would say that I kind of bridge those things. Sometimes I write things explicitly, and sometimes I lean on performers to bring their own voice to the recording process. But it's very different. Either one of those is very different from sitting at your computer and tweaking samples or using synthesizers. And this album does have a fair bit more synth than some of my previous records. I kind of started using synthesizers a little more than samples, drifting into that realm, but still primarily work, you know, on the computer and editing things. Manipulating samples is kind of the main source of my sound.
En sak som Lossil återkommer till på många album är naturen. På Lake Fire handlar det alltså om skogsbränder. Endless Falls tematiserade regn, Sea Island, skärgården.
It's a very instinctual thing. I don't approach it consciously all that much, but you know, I live in Vancouver in British Columbia, and I think it's pretty hard to escape here. I'm sure it's a little bit like this in Sweden too, where you're so connected to the, you know, I can see the mountains and we're 20 minutes from the ocean, and it doesn't take very long to feel like you're far away from everything. And I think that, you know, I'm born and raised in this part of the world, and I think it's just in you. You have this connection to the ocean, to the sky, to the mountains. You know, it's hard to escape in a way.
Men det är inte bara naturen som återkommer som tematik på Lossils album. En annan sak han gärna återvänder till är arkitektur och industriella landskap.
I'm influenced obviously by industrial engineering and architecture, and I find, you know, those things almost as impactful as nature.
När han börjar göra ett album så har han ingen tematik, säger han. Det som uppstår är ofta av en slump.
The themes become a way of kind of gelling ideas and bringing everything together. And I mean, I love the album. I love the idea of an album. And that's, I think, another connection to the photographic work is like putting things into a book is very much like putting a record together. You know, and a record almost has its own internal logic and its own internal structure that I find really intriguing.
Scott Morgan nämnde fotografierna. De tre albumen Humble, Lux Refractions och Faults Coasts Lines släpptes som limiterade CD-skivor tillsammans med varsitt fotoalbum.
And I really enjoy the linking of images to music. I think there's something in there that is really intriguing to me, and I want to keep doing that. So I've done three full books now, and then also there was a little companion photo book to Equivalence, which was the Cranky release, and those images just end up on the back cover of the vinyl, but like in the CD there's a little mini book, and you know, that whole album was kind of photography based as well. But yeah, I'm really interested in and video too. I mean, I do live AV stuff when I perform now, and I've been doing that for probably the last, well, I would have done it at the time we were talking, so maybe the last 10 years I've been really serious about the video component of my live show, and integrating the photography and the video and all of that. The visual aspect I find really interesting.
Omslagsbilden till Lake Fire har han förstås också tagit själv. Den föreställer en skog alldeles inhöljd i rök. Bilden är svartvit, vilket understryker röken ännu mer än om man hade tagit bilden i färg.
It was taken just outside of a town called Revelstoke, which is high in the mountains here. Like if you drive about 5 hours into the mountains, like towards the Rocky Mountains. And I was turning 50. And so we did a family road trip to Banff, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with Banff. It's a national park here in Canada in the Rocky Mountains, just across the border between British Columbia and Alberta. And it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, as far as I'm concerned. It's like the epic Rocky Mountains. And so we were doing this trip as a kind of celebratory thing of my birthday. And it was in the summer. And there were fires just lining basically our whole trip to Banff. And when we stopped in Revelstoke to stay the night, we were out on this, there's like a little sort of amusement park type thing where you could go out on a rowboat on this lake, and the smoke from the fires had just completely covered the mountainside on the other side. So that's where I took those photos.
Han säger att det är så märkligt, att känslan inför en stor skogsbrand som förr i tiden kändes ovanlig och skrämmande har förändrats. Visst är det fortfarande skrämmande, men samtidigt har det blivit så vanligt. Varje sommar brinner det på stora ytor i de kanadensiska skogarna.
They're almost like a weather pattern. It's like a seasonal thing that you just get used to, but it's so abnormal compared to what I remember growing up. You know, like fire was only something you had campfires, or you would roast marshmallows on the fire. Like it's not literally a burning all around you.
Efter resan läste han den kanadensiske författaren och journalisten John Vaillants bok Fire Weather, A True Story from a Hotter World, och visste att han ville göra ett album med tematiken.
He wrote this book called Fire Weather, which is about the 2016 Fort McMurray fire. And Fort McMurray is an oil town in northern Alberta. So it's really like the town that connects to the oil patch, which is where they do the bitumen kind of collecting. And so he was sort of writing on this irony of like an oil town, which is obviously, you know, heavily connected to climate change and our dependence on burning fossil fuels, as the irony of that town kind of basically burning. And I saw him speak here in Vancouver, and it was really excellent. Like his speaking and the book itself is really amazing and inspiring. So all of that kind of fed into what is behind Lake Fire.
Do med Lossil här i Elektroniskt i P2, där vi träffar Scott Morgan, mannen bakom artistnamnet Lossil. Han berättade just om sina foton han tog när han var i ett naturreservat en sommar, då de omkringliggande skogarna brann. Men det är inte första gången han blandar fotograferande och musikskapande. Och även om det finns likheter så säger han att det är två helt olika kreativa processer.
I don't do as much field recording anymore, but you know, field recording and photography are very similar in the sense that you're going out in the field and collecting things. I would say that on the sonic side, I spend more time transforming those things that I've collected. The field recordings or instrument recordings end up getting transformed and adapted. Whereas in photography, I'm not doing too much. I might be, you know, tweaking levels just for balance and maybe cropping a little bit.
Musikskapandet påminner mer om hur det är att sätta samman en fotobok än själva fotograferandet i sig.
And then the assembly of books, you know, the building a collection of images and how those sort of get curated and put together. There is a compositional aspect to that that is similar to music for me.
Intresset för fotografi och bilder som ett akkompanjemang till musiken har funnits där länge för Scott Morgan. Sedan några år tillbaka arbetar han också intensivt med en visuell presentation som han använder när han spelar live. För nya albumet Lake Fire har det gjorts nya filmer.
There's a lot of layers of imagery of trees. I've been experimenting with taking, you know, film photography images of trees and then scanning them in and using the kind of, you know, frame rate to create sort of textures. And it's kind of a continuation of the way I've been working with the other albums, AV, which is geometric shapes and colors and kind of very simple layers kind of tied into the rhythm and the movement of the music. There's a lot of over-the-top kind of VJ-type stuff out there that I'm trying to stay away from. I think my influences are a little more old-school visual music filmmaking.
Till hösten presenterar Scott Morgan Lake Fire. Bilderna, filmerna och givetvis musiken live i Europa. Bland annat spelar han i Reykjavik, Bergen och London. Jag, som gärna hade sett honom live med detta urstarka material, undrar varför det inte finns något Sverigebesök inplanerat.
I haven't been to Sweden in over 20 years. I don't know why Sweden has always eluded me. I love Sweden. Come on, Sweden.
Ja, kom igen, Sverige.